Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
He's back. It's Dave the Computer Guy with us this morning. Dave, good morning. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Ted. Good morning, Fredericksburg.
We've got a lot to talk about, Dave. We're going to talk about a lot of new topics today, but we always, a couple things I want to, before we get started this morning, the best in the burg, the voting for that has now ended in about a month or so, and you'll find the results?
Yes, yeah, sometime in the next several weeks, they'll be announcing the results of that, and I am sure a lot of businesses around here are like, whew, I'm glad this is over. It's a lot of work for a lot of businesses that are entered into that. Everyone's calling, you know, all their friends and family members and other businesses. Have you voted today? Have you text voted? Yes, I did. Did you vote for me? Yes, I did. And just constant every day for weeks, and it's over, and so all the businesses are breathing a sigh of relief right now.
You have a good time with it, though. I know for you, and you've won a number of times, and it's always exciting to win.
It is a lot of fun. It's work. Well, anything is work, it seems like, these days, but it is a lot of work, but it is fun, and I try to take it with a grain of salt because, we might win, we might lose.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you get up and you do the best you can. That's all you can do. But it's a fun competition.
It is. And again, you've won. And good luck. I look forward to seeing the results in past years. It's always been fun to see your name up there on the top line.
A lot of businesses that we've been dealing with over the years, we've been supporting and voting for. So I'm real curious to see, in the gist of it, who wins and who loses. How many businesses that I've been my business has been voting for win. So it'll be very interesting. Maybe by this time next month we'll know.
Yeah, we should when we get together and do this. You're somebody that follows weather, and I like to talk weather always with when we get together. Boy, it's been an up and down spring, but some real nice days this time of year when you're not dealing with humidity.
Oh, some gorgeous days. So it got a little rain yesterday, but the past several days, the cool crisp mornings, the warm afternoons. Gosh, I would give anything to have more and more days like that. I just love it. And you get up in the morning, go out, it's like, wow, it's going to be a beautiful day. I just love that type of weather. And I know probably in July and August when it's 95 degrees with high humidity, I'll be thinking back about these days this past week or two, the cool, crisp mornings and everything, longing for that type of weather.
Well, the pollen has really been bad. And for people that have allergies, I know have really felt it. And as we talk about computers and all, you want to make sure you don't get your computer around things, whether it's dusty conditions or especially pollen conditions. That can really be an issue.
Absolutely. Leaving it on the, like, an enclosed, screened-in back porch or something, it may be out of the rain, so to speak, but not out of the dust and pollen, so definitely bring it indoors.
And the other thing, we talk often that if you're transporting it around, don't leave it in a hot car. That can cause some melting problems, and just some of the parts in a computer just aren't made to withstand heat like that.
Absolutely, and it's easy to think, it's sunny, it's 65, 70 degrees, it's not too bad. In an enclosed car with the windows up and you have a laptop or a tablet or something laying in that car, that could be very, very dangerous to the electronics. Do not do that. If you have to, put it in the trunk. But if at all possible, just keep it indoors.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, and the other thing, we always talk about losing data and losing things. There are enough other ways that your computer can fail than to have to deal with something like that. If leaving it in a car all day and coming out and then trying to power it up, and it's dead.
Absolutely, because with computers, with any electronics, it's not if it's going to fail, it's when. And there's no sense in hastening that by saying, okay, well, I'm just going to keep it in a sauna in my car, basically, and really hasten its demise. Don't do that. Put it in the trunk, or better yet, keep it in your house and just take it with you when you have to go, but take it out of the car.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we've got a lot of new topics to talk about this morning, Dave.
Yep, some things we haven't talked about over the past 10 or 15 years on the air, and I think it'll be very interesting.
Things like cybercrime and data farms and AI, so we've got a lot to do. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Dave the Computer Guy, Tex in the Berg. They're on Lafayette Boulevard, texintheberg.com for more information on them. Also, check out their Facebook page. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We will be right back.
Turning the opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Dave the Computer Guy in this morning with Tex in the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg. Texintheberg.com is their website. Texintheberg.com, or also check them out on Facebook. We often talk, Dave, just about things that go on in the dark web and things that are going on all around us, a lot of the bad things. But boy, more and more we're seeing and hearing about the cost of cybercrime, and it's not a small number.
No, we often hear about companies being hacked or held for ransom and things of that nature, but the total cost of cybercrime each year in the world is somewhere between $7 to $8 trillion. And that amounts to about $220,000 a second that's lost from cybercrime in this world. And it's going up. Every year it gets worse and worse and worse. And it is much, much more than all the illegal drug sales the whole world over all combined. And so it is basically the largest transfer of wealth from one area to another in the economy than in history.
Wow, $7 to $8 trillion. And when you think about it, and you think about the money that these companies are having to spend to deal with this, those kinds of things, unfortunately, when you just mentioned that number, my first thought is that kind of stuff gets passed on to you and me.
Oh, absolutely. The companies aren't eating this loss. That's an operating expense that is being passed to the consumers. And it's just sort of like insurance fraud. People are like, well, you know, if somebody else ripped off an insurance company, it doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. The insurance companies raise their rates, and they pass everything on to the consumer. The same thing with cybercrime. When an industry is hit by all kinds of excess things from ransomware and everything, that is passed on to the consumer.
And it's in so many ways it's gotten so sophisticated, and it just keeps growing and growing. And like you say, we hear about it all the time, and we hear about it all. At times, you wonder some of these companies that get hit with the cybercrime are big companies, and you just think if they're getting fooled or if they've got weaknesses in their system, do any of us have a chance?
We have a chance. We have a fighting chance.
Okay.
But we've talked about it before. One of the best things you could do is just common sense. But with cybercrime, they really, really want to go after the big money tickets, the big companies. It's hard to get a whole lot of money out of the average citizen.
Sure.
But if they go after a big, big company, they have deep pockets. And that's where they really, really can make a lot of money. And what's scary to me, though, Ted, is the when they start targeting things like the power grid or, you know, governments and utilities, that they can really, really wreak havoc on countries. And that really, really terrifies me.
I was going to say that we read and hear about the things like that, the power grid or things like that. And then you're right, that it's concerning. And from all that you read, that there is a degree that we are vulnerable.
Very vulnerable. The cars now have all these computer systems in them, the railways, the planes, power grids, everything is being basically interconnected with this technology. And if they can bring down a big segment of it by attacking it, that can basically bring communities down to a crawl.
Yeah, boy, you know, it is a very scary thing, and in some ways, when you're talking about the power grid, those of you know, you and me were powerless to do anything like that. We can talk about our own systems and the things that we can do personally, but some of these other big things, we're just on the sidelines watching and hoping that they're safe.
Yes, we have to basically depend on the abilities of these companies and these utility companies for, you know, their expertise in protecting their systems. And the water, the electricity, these things we cannot do without. And if they ever got hit, that would be a big, big deal. Gosh. It just scares me to even think about it. I'm going to change the topic.
I know.
In a second, it's too awful to think about.
It is. Although, as we talk about this, it does occur to me that one of the things you can do is to lobby and talk to your elected officials and just ask them to make sure that this is something that is monitored and that enough money is being spent to protect these kinds of things.
The money is the budget there to properly protect and fund the IT protection of these utilities. That is a very, very good thought.
And to try to, as we try to move away from this very concerning topic, that's a good question. Also, I you know, just a lot of the businesses that you deal with, when they're formulating budgets each year to make sure that their own systems are protected from some of these kinds of things.
Absolutely, absolutely. What type of firewalls do they have? What type of backups do they have? And what type of training do the employees have as far as using common sense protective measures in opening emails or doing web searches and everything? And a lot of it is just training and common sense in protecting ourselves. But there has to be some other things as far as backups, firewalls, etc., that these companies need to spend money on to help protect themselves.
And I guess in some cases, a lot of the companies that you deal with, I'm sure you would recommend if they ever asked you, or if they may do it, of spending some time, spending half a day every so often with and have somebody like you or some experts come in to talk to people about just prevention, because something like this, we talk about what we can do to the power grid. We've talked about how cyber crimes can just for a local company can put you out of business.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, Ted. In fact, if a company is hit bad with an attack, that literally half of them go out of business almost immediately. And it is that serious. And a lot of the Fortune 500 companies, they have regular experts come in to speak and train their personnel and office managers on proper security techniques in day-to-day working on a computer, as far as opening emails, searches, etc. Yeah. to help protect the companies. It is that important.
Dave, the computer guy here this morning with Tex and the Berg also talking about this. We've talked about just email and phishing. That once again, that seems to have kind of bumped up, and I have seen in the last few weeks just even more kind of junk coming through than I have seen in a while.
Yeah, that's the primary way that people get hacked and attacked. In companies is through phishing. It's the cyber criminals are impersonating a legitimate business or residential user, and they send out these emails. People do not look at them closely enough. They'll click on a link, and all of a sudden they've unleashed a virus, or they're being controlled by some cyber criminal. And that's about 80 to 90% of the breaches in companies is a result of phishing.
Mm. If you notice that something doesn't seem right, I guess we've talked about turn your computer off. If you're in a business setting, I guess, and you've got an IT person around, you've got an IT company, I guess you want to contact that IT person or company right away too.
Absolutely. If you're in a company and they have their own IT department, you contact them instantly and let them deal with this. And it's a very, very serious thing, Ted. And like I said, that's the majority of breaches in companies come from phishing attacks. And it costs, I think, average of over $1.5 million recovery from each big attack. From phishing per company. So that's a big loss in revenue. And most companies, especially a small to medium sized company, they can't withstand a $1.5 million hit. And so it's very, very serious.
And I guess if you're a person that's involved, if the person or the company is going to use you, you want to know as soon as you can. So you can start dealing with the fallout.
Absolutely, absolutely. And with all our systems, they're all monitored, the email, the antivirus, and all the computers, tablets, every laptops are all monitored. When something happens, if the monitoring doesn't pick it up, yes, the user, if they think that something's amiss, they have to call us or whatever IT company right away.
I've noticed, and whether it's been companies or I even have heard of individuals, some of these ransom situations of where I'm hearing more and more of people just paying it to try to get on with their life and not to try to work around it.
Sometimes, and it depends. This is going to be a company to company specific
sure.
thing. It depends on what. Has been compromised and locked down, so to speak, and being held for ransom. If the company is properly managed, they would be able to get back up and working relatively quickly. If it's not, then yes, they might have to pay it just to get on with their life, so to speak. I don't believe in doing that. It just encourages these criminals more to do this. It's sort of like a neighborhood bully going around beating up people.
Yeah.
And everyone saying, no, don't fight back. Don't fight back. No, you gotta fight the bully. And it's the same with these cyber attackers and holding companies for ransom. I don't agree in paying it, but sometimes if there's no recourse, there is no other way.
You think back of the days of just when there were computer viruses and how bad that was. The stakes just keep getting bigger and bigger, and as all of us are now connected in some way and using computers, it just continues to get worse and will get worse.
Yes, I remember Ted about 20-25 years ago working in IT departments. And someone would get a virus, we'd be alerted, we'd go shut the computer down, take it offline, scan it, and make sure everything's fixed,
yeah.
Put it back online, everything. Now it's like, what's been compromised, or how much trouble are we in? Do we have to pay a ransom to get this stuff back? It's just, everything's just changed so much, and I've gotten so much worse.
I'm sure for you, you can probably spend days on some of these things that look relatively small, but bring a business to its knees. And for what you do, it's. I'm just trying to imagine how difficult it must be sometimes.
It is. We had one company years ago, an accounting firm, open an email they shouldn't have, and it infected that computer and ended up spreading and almost wiped the company out. It was a really, really bad virus, and it was definitely self-inflicted. The email was coming from, it was a bogus email coming from the IRS. And any accounting firm knows IRS doesn't send you emails, and this person opened it and almost wiped their own company out.
Whenever I've had to deal with these kinds of things, I'm always saying to myself or others, how can people be like this? How can you have this much knowledge on this and want to be just doing it for no good? And I'm sure you all say and think the same things.
Oh, absolutely. But if you look back, like in the 20s and 30s, all these mobsters, they're criminals. They have their machine guns. They're going out robbing, killing people. This is a new type of mobster. And they're just horrible, but they're no different. They're just as evil.
Be careful. It's not only expensive, it's time consuming and all the things that we've talked about.
Yep. Be careful, and it's tough, but just be careful, and it can really, really affect people. I mean, when you take away someone's finances and their livelihood, that's about as bad as it gets.
Yeah. David Computer Guy here, Tex and the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg on Lafayette Boulevard. 505 Lafayette Boulevard over near the train station and right next to Permatree on Lafayette Boulevard. TexandTheBerg.com. More with Dave the Computer Guy coming up. When we come back, we will talk about data farms. That's been a big issue that's been talked about in the region, and we'll talk more about that when we return on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is coming up on 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with Dave the Computer Guy with Tex in the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg, 505 Lafayette Boulevard. And check them out on Facebook also, or check out TexInTheBerg.com. Or if you've got a question, give Dave a call, as you can hear when we have these conversations. When you call him on the phone, he's just like he is when he's on the radio. He's very personable and will answer your questions. As far as one of the topics to talk about, Dave, that we are hearing more and more about, data farms. For a while, it's been these data centers have been up in Loudoun and in Prince William, but Stafford and Spotsylvania localities. I think all of localities are taking a look at this because there's money to be made.
Yes, Ted, they're all over the place now. Actually, Virginia has upwards, I think, close to 200 data centers. I'm not sure exactly this year what the total amount are, but I know they're all over Loudoun, Fairfax, Prince William, and Fauquier counties. And they might, we might be getting some in Stafford, and they're going to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And like we were talking during the break, all the communities want the tax money. And they will bring some jobs and tax money, and so they're going somewhere. Why not wherever they need the tax money?
They're interesting because as the little bit that I've studied of them, they use a lot of water, and they can be loud.
They can be loud. They use considerable resources, a lot of electricity. There has to be a very, very good electric grid wherever they're going to have a data center, and a lot of water. These things, they're basically just a huge warehouse with a lot of big computers and a huge cooling system to keep everything cool. They do make noise. You don't want it right next to a residential neighborhood. So if they can position it somewhere that it's not interfering with residential neighborhoods as far as the noise and traffic and everything, that would be great. But they are going somewhere, and we have to have them. That's something that we cannot do without, and that's what supplies all the data and the processing power that people are using. And so that's something we're just going to have to put up with eventually.
Yeah, if when we talk about all the things that we're using now and the things that we want to do and to keep up, obviously this is something that's going to have to be part of it.
Yeah, and actually Virginia is the largest data center in the world. And it's Virginia has really, really went after, so to speak, getting these data centers here. And so they're making a fortune off it for tax purposes. So good for Virginia, as long as they are properly placed.
And like you say, that's going to be the thing of where they can be placed and where you want them and where the fight is. And just like the resources, too.
Yes, and how much drag it's going to be on the electric grid where they put them, and the water system, is it really capable, or are they sort of shoehorning a data center in? It's going to be marginal and maybe have some detrimental effects to the power grid or to the water system. But hopefully all that's worked out and it's done properly and professionally.
I have heard, and I think this was some of the debate I heard it in both Prince William and when this was talked about a little bit over the winter in the General Assembly. One of the concerns that some of the opponents have is that these centers are so big right now, but with technology and the shrinking of things, we don't know in the future what these are going to look like. Are they going to have to be as big, or this is really an area we don't know a lot about?
They're still going to be big, Ted. They're overall, computers are getting smaller and faster. The data centers themselves are still going to be quite large and expensive and very, very hot and require a tremendous cooling system in them. But that's not going to change. And as things get more powerful and there is more data to be managed, the centers are likely just going to keep growing. They're not really going to shrink in size. The computers will shrink. But as the amount of data that they're manipulating increases, I can only see data centers getting bigger.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. When you put it in those terms. Well, we haven't seen specific sites or things in this area, but this is going to be something that you have to think that before too long, we're going to be seeing these data centers talked about really up close, right around here.
Yes, if there's any open land that's not right next to a residential neighborhood, that's probably going to be looked at as far as, okay, wow, this could put a data center right here. And there'll be people for it, and there'll be people against it, and they will battle it out. And just hopefully the best, it'll be put in the best location for everyone involved.
Yeah.
But they're coming, whether we like it or not.
Yep. I was going to say, this is definitely a to-be-continued topic that we will will be on the list of topics that we talk about in the months and the years ahead. Dave,
absolutely.
Dave, the computer guy here with Tex in the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg. This next topic I find very interesting because this has been talked about a lot lately. Staying safe while traveling, and a lot of us are not. A lot of us are having our data compromised just because of some convenience choices in some cases that we're making.
Yes, and now that the weather is changed, we're into spring, we're heading into summer, people are going to be going on vacation, they're going to be flying, they're going to be driving everywhere, and some of the listeners may have seen in the news that some of the criminals now are basically hacking the USB connections at airports and hotels, so you plug your phone or whatever rechargeable device, tablet you have into a USB charger, and they try to hack it. And there are ways to keep safe in doing that. There's, and a lot of people may have not have heard this, but there's different type of USB cables. You can get a data cable that can charge and transmit data on it, depending on your device. And you can get a charge-only USB cable. And it's hard to recognize them just by looking at them.
Yeah. But
it's going to be on the package, whether it's a data cable or whether it's a charge-only cable. When you're traveling and you're going to be plugging in a device to be charged at a hotel or at an airport, just get the charge-only cable. It's probably going to be a little bit thinner, and on the packaging, it's going to say that it is a charge-only cable. You can use that safely to charge your device. No data can be transmitted on it.
Interesting. So look for that. What great advice there. Look for the charge-only cable.
Yeah, you can get them at all the major retailers. You can look online at Amazon for a power-only USB charger. And that will take the worry away from using an airport or a hotel USB charger.
Again, a lot of these things, the convenience is there, and sometimes we just rush to the convenience and don't think about some of the consequences.
Absolutely, and we've had people use at hotels. Most hotels will have a convenience computer with a printer to get online to do stuff if you forget your computer or something like that.
Yeah.
You have to use these things with extreme caution. You don't know who's been on these and what is on these computers, what type of monitoring or hacking software is on them. And if you do use those and you log on to your email or your bank, make sure you log off completely and close the browser out. But in all fairness, do not even do that. Do not log on to your email or your bank or anything like that with a secondary computer like that.
Right.
You're putting yourself at tremendous risk doing so.
And a lot of us don't even think of that because we see that computer there and you think, you know, I got an extra 10 minutes. There's no one around. Why don't I go check my email?
Yeah, let me check my email. Let me check my bank account.
Yeah.
And there's a chance it's fine. There's a chance that computer is maintained properly and it's safe as long as you log off, you know, when you get off the computer. But there's a chance it's not. And I would never, ever take that type of chance. I would have my own laptop. And if need be, you can use your cell phone as a Wi-Fi hotspot instead of using the hotel's Wi-Fi, and make yourself a lot safer than using a public Wi-Fi at a hotel, especially if you're doing banking or any type of secure communication.
You see it all the time when you go out to lunch and people in restaurants are doing things, and you always have talked about being careful in those kinds of settings, and have always talked about, especially the banking part of it, be very, very careful with any of these public things because you just don't know who can get access to that particular computer. And like you say, maybe no one does, but chances are they are.
Why take a chance?
Yeah.
And it's like being in a room with somebody who has a really contagious disease. the flu or COVID or whatever, you might not get it, but you might. And so I wouldn't want to go into that room if I knew someone was highly contagious in there. It's the same with this. And if you do, if you are out and about with your tablet or your laptop traveling, that is when a VPN really, really comes in handy. Always use a VPN when you're at a hotel or a coffee shop or anything like that. They're very inexpensive, and they can make your life much, much better.
Oh boy, you're not kidding, because you talk about just what can happen if some of these things are compromised. You would never sit there. You would never sit on your be on your phone and give your social security number out, you know, in a crowded area. But if you hop on the internet and do some of these things, and in especially some of the sensitive things, the banking and that's what you're doing.
Yeah, Ted, and actually that is an excellent analogy you just gave. Sitting in a crowded room on a phone talking and giving out your social security number, your address, your phone number out loud where people can hear you, that's exactly the same thing.
Now, as you were talking, I was just thinking, you would never do that. You would just,
anybody. It'd be crazy.
But
it'd be absolute craziness.
But you have no problem walking over to that computer there in the hotel lobby and thinking, well, let me check my email. The other thing I wonder is, if you do these kinds of things, and maybe everything is safe, but you know, later on, is it good to maybe even change your passwords after that?
No matter what, passwords need to be routinely changed. I know some people, they keep passwords for years. And if someone just has a Gmail account, they do nothing secure with it. All they do is talk to a friend or whatever. It's not the end of the world if that email got compromised. If you use this email for other things, business related, that is very serious. These passwords need to be routinely changed to long, complex passwords.
Boy, and we see that more and more, and you've talked for years about getting one of these password programs that just does it for you.
Absolutely. That's another thing besides the VPN. If you have a VPN and a password manager, both together only cost a few dollars a month. That can mean the difference of you getting hacked and all your money being stolen, or you being safe.
Well, and just the sophistication. We talked earlier about the cost of cybercrime and the phishing and the things we've talked about. The sophistication is getting so great that you don't want to take any chances.
No. And if you can protect yourself for just a few dollars, there is no reason. If someone can afford internet and a computer, they can afford $3 or $4 or $5 a month for these additional things that really, really can help protect them.
Yeah. Well, we've talked all the time about make sure you have, you know, some kind of protection. But in I would think you hope that that everybody does. But like we say, it's gotten so dangerous out there that you need to be aware in doing this thing. And that's why I think, well, just like you talked about the USB cables, and get a charge only cable is one way to protect yourself.
Yes, and it's very much think about traveling with your technology, whether it's a phone or tablet or laptop. It's like driving a car. You've got to be aware of your surroundings at all time, and do not get distracted. Do not make a mistake and go, well, I'll click on this without thinking. And then it's like wrecking into a tree. And if you look away, you want to pay attention to what you're doing. It's very serious.
You need a T-shirt or a hat that says "Do not be distracted." That could be your. That can be one. You need to have that.
A lot of people do get distracted. They're doing 5 or 10 things at a time. They get a phone call. Oh, I'll let this guy on my computer. Boom. They're hacked. We've had people get their accounts in the last week or two, lose 10, 15, 20,000 out of their accounts. And it's heartbreaking, but really got to stay on the ball.
And it does happen around here. It's like you mentioned that. You see it. The Spotsylvania Sheriff's Office the other day had a had a story about someone local who ended up withdrawing $40,000.
I was going to say, we had two people in the past maybe 2 or 3 weeks that combined almost $30,000 they lost.
Yeah, so it's happening
and
here.
It's unnecessary, and you've got to really, really concentrate and think about what you're doing before you let somebody on your computer.
Yep, and right there, it's happening here, so be aware of that. TexInTheBurg.com. Dave, the computer guy with Tex in the Burg in downtown Fredericksburg here. One final break. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Back by This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Just a couple of minutes left with Dave the Computer Guy with Tex in the Burg. I think this is probably a topic we'll have to come back on and talk again about. I'm sure we will. But AI, boy, Dave, this is getting kind of scary. AI, I think, is going in directions that some of us don't realize.
Yep, Ted, it's really hard to say where this is all going to lead. I remember about, I guess it was 12 or 15 years ago doing a show that we talked about what I thought was coming down the pike, what in the next 3 to 5 years,
yeah.
What's the technology coming and where is everything leading. Now it's really, really impossible to say. Even the best minds in the world really don't know where this is all going to be going. We're already immersed in it, in AI right now, and whether people even know it or not, Apple Siri and Amazon Alexa, Microsoft's Cortana, these are all forms of AI. The self-driving cars, that's another thing that scares me, though, Ted. I could not get in a self-driving car and let that thing do its own thing, and I'm just sitting there and
yeah.
going down the road. That,
Amen.
That scares me.
Yep.
I don't think we're ready for that yet, and I know I'm not ready for that. But AI is going, I'm hoping a lot of this technology is going to be used for medical advances. I think it will be. But we don't know the end game of this, where it's all going to lead, but it's some really, really powerful stuff.
Boy, it is. It's worth watching and keeping track of this because, like you say, it's in so many areas right now, and in some ways it can do good, but it also in the wrong hands. Like we've talked about a lot of this stuff, things all the convenience in the wrong hands can be really scary.
Yeah, and I remember in the past I was like, well, the TVs are going to become computers, and basically they have all the latest TVs or smart TVs. You can get on them and browse the web and do all kinds of stuff with them. The AI is going to transform how we live in our houses, how we work in our office spaces, eventually, you know, the self-driving cars.
Yep.
I'm just hoping the technology really does something with healthcare and leads to some tremendous advances in some of the really, really bad things, cancer, heart
yep.
disease, et
yep.
cetera. That would be fabulous.
Dave, the computer guy with Tex in the Burg. TexInTheBurg.com. Dave, as always, thank you. I'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Fredericksburg.
Or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.